from 5,000 feet in Fort Davis to 3 feet in Jamaica Bay, where liberty's threatened in Texas. Count on Pratt on Texas to sound the alarm. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan studio on the high ground of Texas, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, Wendy Davis, that former state senator and failed gubernatorial candidate, Miss Pink Shoes herself, continues her crusade to ensure unfettered access to the killing of babies in the womb. We'll bring you up to date on her lawsuit against the Texas Fetal Heartbeat Bill. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for institutions and business. And believe me, it's affordable enough even for a very, very small business of just a few people. Truckers and fleet owners, Allied Compliance Services is your best friend in compliance with DOT testing regs as well. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. In a look at local races today, it's Lubbock City Council District 5. That's a big set of folks. We've already heard from Dr. Jennifer Wilson on the show, and today we hear from hopefuls Chase Head and Kerry Thomas. That's all coming up on Pratt on Texas. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show, a recording of the show, and other long-form interviews we post at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan, and it's important we stop and talk about today in Texas history. Obviously, tomorrow, the 21st of April, is San Jacinto Day, Victory Day in Texas, one of the most important days in our history. And what was going on today? Well, yesterday I brought you up to speed on where the armies were. And we pick it up this morning at dawn on the 20th. The Texans resumed their trek down the bayou and at Lynch's Ferry captured a boat laden with supplies for Santa Ana. They then drew back about a mile on the Harrisburg Road and encamped in a skirt of timber protected by rising ground. That afternoon, Sidney Sherman, with a small detachment of cavalry, engaged the enemy infantry, almost bringing on a general action. In the clash, by the way, all this tells you is that some of the simplification you've heard about how the Mexican army in Santa Ana were completely surprised and, you know, no, they knew the armies were in distance of each other. There had been skirmishes. That just shows, again, the incredible arrogance and poor leadership from Santa Ana. In the clash, Alwyn's J. Task was mortally wounded. One other Texan was wounded and several horses were killed. Mirabeau Lamar, a private, so distinguished himself that on the next day he was placed in command of the cavalry. Santa Ana made camp under the high ground, overlooking a marsh about three-fourths of a mile from the Texas camp, and threw up breastworks of trunks, baggage, pack saddles, and other equipment. Both sides prepared for conflict, and that's what was going on today, the 20th of April in 1836. So the Texian army reached the Lynchburg Ferry and set up camp. Mexican army arrived at San Jacinto and formed a skirmish line and brought up a cannon to fire on the Texian camp. All right, my friends, it's important stuff. Tomorrow's the big day to celebrate. Fly that flag, wear a flag if you have one on your shirt, whatever. Our look at Texas history sponsored by USA Investigations, providing security, surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and much more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. By the way, I mean, they do some really amazing work. This is a very impressive team of folks, law enforcement and otherwise backgrounds. They do financial fraud. If you know, I've been a member of churches and things where stuff happened, or if you're suspecting something like that, these folks are the kind of people you can call. USAinvestigations.net is where you learn more. All right, my friends, some headlines. At least four people were injured in a fire at Prairie View A&M in the dorm, a dorm building. KTRK had the best reporting on this. Three students injured at least. Two were rescued from a ledge by firefighters and taken to hospital for smoke inhalation. A third jumped from the third floor and suffered a leg injury. A police officer, not a fireman, a police officer ran into the building to get students and was reportedly treated for smoke inhalation. Before the firefighters arrived at the scene, students used mattresses and tried to help girls get down from a ledge. The University Prairie View said just before 6 a.m., campus emergency officials were made aware of an unknown structure fire in student housing. Building was evacuated. All building residents were accounted for by the professional staff on scene. Our student affairs team's working diligently, blah, 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 blah. So it came out okay. Driver seriously injured after 18-wheeler struck by train. This was down in Hockley, Texas, and that's not Hockley County. This is Hockley down in the Houston area in Harris County. In the lesson, don't park on the tracks, period. 18-wheeler was on the tracks at the intersection of Katy Hockley and U.S. 290 Feeder Road. The railroad crossing arms came down on the truck. Now, the driver should have immediately bailed out and left the vehicle. He did not. The train hit that 18-wheeler. It tore it away from the load of gravel, which is very heavy, and pushed it a quarter mile down the railroad tracks. A train cannot stop right away, and that trucker, sadly, was seriously injured. They're reporting out of Brown County. KRBC had a story today that the deceased, the remains of a man who went missing back in 2010, he was 76 years old, Richard Parker, and reported missing back in 2010. They searched the area. They even had cadaver dogs, airplanes, and horses. Everybody searched and couldn't find him back then, and now his remains have been found at the Brown County 4-H Center. His driver's license and other identifying information was at the scene, showing the remains belonged to Richard Parker, a 76-year-old man at the time, reported missing back then in 2010. He was last seen with his pickup at Mountain View Lodge in April of that year. That's sad. I just go missing like that. And there was a strange story out of New Deal, the little settlement on the railroad north of Lubbock. The New Deal Lions, they've got a growing school district there. KCBD had the story, and it's extraordinarily strange. Apparently, a lot of folks have banded together and sent the county judge a letter. I don't know why, what jurisdiction the county judge has over any of this stuff. The whole situation makes it sound like it's people are upset, but they don't really know what to do. I'm not sure, but apparently they're doing petitions and they're accusing a school district at New Deal ISD trustees of misusing public funds. But it sounds from the reporting at KCBD that they simply have a disagreement over, and I would agree, it's horrible if they've been paying an ex-superintendent a heck of a lot of money for years and years after he supposedly retired and had some kind of part-time gig, and they're saying that over $1 million went to this guy since 2010. That doesn't surprise me. That seems to be one of the sicknesses we have within the school districts and stuff. But I don't know, it's a policy difference. You should be aware and paying attention, going to meetings, and then running for school board. Apparently they want, I don't know what they want. It's a strange story, but obviously they're all... A lot of lions in New Deal, they're the New Deal Lions. A lot of lions growling, grumbling, and hissing, or whatever lions do. Harris County District Judge, a Democrat, has recused herself from the criminal case against County Judge Hidalgo's aides in this contracting scandal. Natalia Cornelio, she's recused in this. She's a big-time leftist. She worked at the Texas Civil Rights Project and worked for Harris County Commissioner Rodney Ellis as Director of Legal Affairs. She even helped negotiate and finalize the landmark settlement heading to their misdemeanor bail reform, which has been a disaster there. She's real close to this little insider crowd, let's put it that way. And so she's recused herself from these criminal proceedings against Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo's top aides. Back in a moment, my friends.
Pratt returns after the break.
Jeff Barker Computer Service custom builds better quality, longer lasting servers and high-end business and gamer PCs for you at competitive prices. Jeff Barker Computer Service is your proven local computer builder for PCs and servers. They've been at it for several decades and are expert. And they service what they build even years later when some firms will not. Visit jbcs.com. jbcs.com to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you. jbcs.com.
I've long agreed with Robert Earl Keen's great song, Barbecue. If you're feeling puny, you don't know what to do, treat yourself to some meat, eat some barbecue. In Lubbock, that means the Shack on North Frankfort. The Shack is Lubbock's favorite barbecue. To keep top quality, the Shack opens at 11 a.m. and closes when out of meat about mid-afternoon, Wednesday through Sunday. If you're feeling puny or just hungry, get some barbecue at the Shack. The Shack, Lubbock's favorite barbecue.
Are you redoing houses or commercial buildings? Corley Demo and Construction does quality interior and exterior demo and doesn't charge extra fees such as dump fees. They rent construction dumpsters too. Get it cleaned out or torn down right so you can get the job going with Corley Demo and Construction. Free estimates. Contact us today at CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com. Quality work, quality cleanup. CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com.
Warm weather evenings on the patio is a Texas tradition, and no one does it better or more tasty than Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse, and it's next to a lake with waterfall. You'll have access to comfortable surroundings, great service, premium liquors, beer, cordials, award-winning wine list, and great bar bites food at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse all spring, summer, and fall. Meet friends and colleagues and enjoy quality time on the patio by the lake at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse.
He secretly has a red, white, and blue flag in his closet with the number 1787 scrawled on it. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Upcoming, we've got two candidate interviews, Chase Head and Kerry Thomas, both candidates in the really big race for Lubbock City Council District 5. Right now, it's our Lone Star Story of the Day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. Wendy Davis continues her crusade to have babies killed and sues individuals over Texas fetal heartbeat law. Now, all these lawsuits that have come out have failed against Senate Bill 8. The AP says Senate Bill 8, which bans abortions after roughly 6 weeks of pregnancy, it bans killing the baby in the womb after a fetal heartbeat has been detected. And that comes around that amount of time. She's taken all these other cases so far have failed. You know, and a couple of little things been the state Supreme Court, been to the U.S. Supreme Court. So far, everything has remained in place, praise God. And it's saving the lives of thousands upon thousands of human beings. She's taking a different, you know, her whole claim to fame, remember, is a state senator wearing the pink shoes and leading the unruly mob in the Senate galleries that were throwing tampons and things down onto the Senate floor trying to fight any restrictions, just to fight restrictions. I mean, no, you got to have unfettered access to being able to kill the babies in the womb. That's Wendy Davis. She ran for governor and lost massively. Now, the thing that really bugs a lot of the leftist and some other people is that the law allows private citizens to enforce the law, not government. And they have to file a suit in court and they have to prove it in civil court. And then they always talk about, and they get a bounty. They don't get a bounty. All civil cases like this and things in the law have a defined amount of money you can recover. And it's a very low amount. It's 10 grand. Wouldn't even pay your legal bills. But the law lets you file suit to anyone against anyone who aids or abets an abortion or pays for one. And so Wendy Davis has been joined up by a bunch of leftists who believe in killing babies, the Stigma Relief Fund, which is a fund that exists to promote the killing of babies in the womb. So I guess, you know, what, ethnic genocide cleansing? I don't know. I mean, that's what the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, she was a eugenicist, the whole idea. And if you look at their statistics today, they primarily abort black babies. I mean, that's, the largest cohort. But this fund with somebody named Marva Sadler and Sean Mell, and I don't know about them or their position on things, but nevertheless, they're pro-abortion. And they're, this time, what they're trying to do is use the ability to sue under the law for, sue individuals for involved, you know, engaging in the promotion of abortion and one effectively not promoting the idea of abortion, although they're making that claim here. They're making a free speech claim. There's nothing in the law that lets you sue somebody who goes out and speaks in favor of abortion or advocates in favor of abortion at all. It's actually being part of the act of abortion, including paying for that abortion to happen, that makes one subject to lawsuit by private citizens. So what they've done now, something new, is they're suing private citizens. They're going to sue three private citizens who I don't know who it was, but just people who have spoken loudly on the issue, and State Rep Briscoe Kane. Why? Well, Kane's been speaking out. He sent cease and desist letters to the Texas abortion funds accusing them of criminal conduct, pointing out that abortion is still illegal in Texas. I know ignorant people think courts overturned laws. They don't. They simply make laws unenforceable. The United States Supreme Court cannot force the people of Texas to change the law. What their ruling in Roe v. Wade did was say you can't enforce the law that makes abortion illegal. Texas legislators, and by the way, you Democrats, the legislature was completely dominated by Democrats all through the 70s and into the 80s, all right, through the 80s. They never took that law off the books. Abortion remains illegal in Texas. It just cannot be enforced. And that's Briscoe Kane, State Rep Kane, is legally and factually correct in the cease and desist letters. So they're suing him, claiming that they're claiming the law violates their due process rights and free speech. The problem you have with this is that to shallow people, it sounds really good. Yeah, we don't like that private citizen suing. Because, yeah, that's right, because money is speech, and if we give money to a political group that helps with abortion and all that, we shouldn't be subject to suit. I get all that, and there may be some good legal points in the fine details of this. The problem they've got is that their lawsuit itself is a practice in precisely what they claim is wrong. In other words, they're doing what they say is wrong. They're claiming they can sue somebody because they don't like the speech of these private citizens, that when they speak, they're trying to get people not to involve themselves in abortion. And it's really interesting because, these abortion funds like Stigma Relief Fund, they're claiming that because pro-life advocates are sending out or giving speech, in other words, political speech, saying, hey, you know, you could end up being liable under the law if you give money to these groups. So it's freezing donors, right? And they found some people, so I haven't donated at all because I'm afraid of being, and you know, that'll give them, they do that so they can have standing in a lawsuit. The problem they've got with this is this what the left does on everything, does it not? The left even uses the power of the police agencies, state and federal, to go after people to try to freeze political speech and freeze donations. We've seen it all through the Trump era. We've seen it before with other things. This is what they do. And the idea that the lawsuit, that the fetal heartbeat bill is wrong because it interferes with people's speech and lets them be sued as private citizens. Well, if you then go sue private citizens because of their speech, well, it's a circular argument. It'll get a lot of good press. And again, like I say, there are some minutiae things in this that who knows what'll end up being in the courts over the years to come. But what you really need to know is that people like Wendy Davis and the Modern Democratic Party simply cannot countenance any environment in which we cannot just wantonly wholesale kill babies. That's it. That's how depraved they are. That's how absolutely anti-moral or amoral. Now, I don't think they're amoral. I think they're immoral. That's how immoral they are. Now, speaking of more court actions, Biden's asked the Supreme Court to override Amarillo federal judge Kaczmarek and go ahead and dump what remains of Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, where when you come here and ask for asylum, you have to wait until you get the hearing and get all this heard before you're just let loose in this country, which is a really good rule. What bothers me about this, well, let me read you a little bit out of the Dallas Morning News feature piece on this today. I think this is the Dallas Morning News. Yeah, Todd Gilman. The Center for Immigration Studies, which wants to restrict immigration or migration, no, they want to stop illegal migration, calls Remain in Mexico one of the most effective tools yet to deter migrants seeking work from being able to exploit asylum laws. And that's right. Asylum claims require credible fear of returning to one's home country and only fear for certain things, not coming here to work or have better life or better economic opportunity. Yet this is what they've been doing. Then the next line, the cities of Dallas and Houston joined 23 other local governments from around the country in support of Biden's bid to overturn the MPP program. What business does a city corporation in the state of Texas have taking these kind of positions? I really think the legislature, or through constitutional amendment, we need to rein this in. And I mean even in favor of pro-life, for example. They can have an ordinance they can adopt, but they don't need to be taking political positions as a city body. The mayor and the council, they can all take political positions all day. They can go on stage with lefties or right-wingers or whatever. But I don't think that the governments themselves ought to be engaged in this kind of thing. By the way, Dallas commissioners in Dallas County have agreed to spend $250,000 to fund their county judge's lawsuit against Abbott, you know, over the idea that the local judge can't force mask mandates on people. They'll never learn. We've got interviews coming up.
Pratt's back in a moment after we hear from those who pay the bills.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life, Health, Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Communication's a top priority with commercial builder Tommy Klein Construction. A 20-year-plus Tommy Klein Construction customer said, when we call, text, or email, the majority of the time we get a response back within the hour. Many times they call us before we have a question with updates on our projects. And with Tommy Klein Construction, if there's a need for an adjustment or warranty, they give it top priority as if it were their own building. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them, 806-438-3384. 806-438-3384.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Welcome to another Pratt on Texas Election 2022 candidate interview. Now, here's your Texas political swami and Lone Star anchorman, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Visiting with another candidate in this big Southwest Lubbock District 5 City Council race. As I've said before, it's unusual that you have the big field of candidates when the incumbent's running for re-election. In this case, that's it, though. It's not an open seat. The incumbent, Randy Christian's, running for re-election, and we've got a really big field of candidates in the this district in the Lubbock City Council race. Chase Head is our guest. Chase's website is Chasehead, H-E-A-D, ChaseheadLBK.com. So that's the website if you want to learn more about his campaign, ChaseheadLBK.com. Chase, it is interesting that, you know, you have an incumbent running for re-election and it's the biggest field of candidates. I think that says something about public dissatisfaction with the current city council. That's as good a place for any as for a candidate to start. Tell us a little bit about your reasons for running and what you're hearing from people in District 5 there in southwestern part of Lubbock.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. So I'm running because it's something I feel called to do. I had been planning on doing this since early 2020, so this wasn't a reaction necessarily to the Sanctuary City vote by our current council or by how COVID was handled, which I think several of the other candidates are running reactionary to those issues. But it's something for me that I feel that I've been called to do. It's something that I feel that I've been blessed with the opportunity to be able to do and been equipped to do this job really well. So that's part of why I'm running. And then I was encouraged by several different groups within the community to go out and seek this, this council spot. So after consideration back in 2020, and, we decided that we were going to make a run for it.
Sounds almost like you're putting down, calling them reactionaries, the other candidates. Are you not upset by the city's COVID policies and the shutting down of small businesses or their vote almost as if you minimize those issues, their vote to protect innocent life? You say you were planning beforehand, but you said the others are just running reaction to that. Well, those are two pretty big issues to run in reaction to, particularly if your business was destroyed by city code or enforcement.
No, you're 100% correct, Robert. And I was definitely disappointed in both of those things by our current city council, okay, which just made my decision to run even stronger. And certainly I've been on the record over and over of talking about the shutdowns and who was at a loss for words here, but
that's all right. I mean, probably you're talking about who was shut down versus who wasn't, or
who was shut down.
I heard you speak. Yeah,
who wasn't? And no, I'm 100% against government mandates and shutdowns. I had, luckily for me, I'm in agriculture and real estate, and both of those businesses weren't shut down. But I have some very, very close friends that were in other businesses in town, and they were shut down. And my stance has been all along that if you were one of those businesses shut down and called non-essential, there's the word I was looking for, Robert. But if you were called non-essential, you absolutely, the government should never call somebody essential versus non-essential, because if that's your family and livelihood, riding on that business, then you are 100% essential.
Yeah. My mortgage doesn't exempt me from payments if a politician decides I'm non-essential, does it? None of you.
Exactly. And if you go to my website or you listen to any of my other interviews at forums or on the radio, whatever it may be, over and over, my faith is the number one driver in my life. And I was very, very disappointed in the Sanctuary City vote, and that was around the time that I was making this decision. So if we go back to that, that drove me to wanting to run. But I will say it was something that I was already considering. So this wasn't something just reactionary, if that clears it up a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I think people want to know that. Let me ask you a question. You're talking about mandates and shutdowns. One of the biggest and most clear proxy issues out there that's a proxy for a lot of other governmental philosophical issues is the smoking ban in Lubbock. There is a group that continues to push. They're just not happy, even though they don't go to these places where smoking is. They think government ought to control this. And many city councilmen have told me, "But next council, when I'm not there, they're going to put there in the city hall all the time, pushing the expansion of the smoking ban, which doesn't allow private property owners to use their property as they see fit." Your position on expanding the smoking ban?
Well, most of all, I think, Robert, I've been called the business candidate or the chamber candidate or whatever you may want to call it. I say I'm the business candidate because I'm a businessman and that's my background. But I'm a capitalist, and my belief there is if the business wants to allow smoking, they should have every right to do that. I think there's plenty of businesses out there that have gone from smoking to non-smoking, and would say that that's the best decision they made as far as how that impacted their P&L. But to me, I'm a capitalist. I'm a private property rights person. I was endorsed by the LAR on that issue exactly of being the standing up for private property rights. And I will be the first to say that that's a business decision. Right. And
very good. Time is short, so let's move on. We've got so much debt in the city of Lubbock, and a lot of people look around and they say, what's this for? Now, we understand that the infrastructure is usually not sexy and pretty, but then again, the politicians don't seem to want to do infrastructure as much as they want to do big and pretty things. I don't know if it bothers you, but it seems to me like the first bit of everybody's property taxes before we pay for one policeman or one fireman is going to pay off a lot of debt service in the city of Lubbock. And given interest and the fact that interest is going up, you can buy a lot more with your money if you were paying for it and not paying investment bankers and bondholders off first before you even get a dollar spent. Your thoughts on the city's debt?
Yeah, we have too much debt. I mean, we're at $1.8 billion in debt. You're exactly right. A lot of that is for infrastructure, and some of those bonds will eventually roll off. A lot of it was securing water, which I think is something that's good. We did need to secure water, and even if we had to take on some debt to do that, that's a very important sure. way of spending your money, in my opinion. But we do need to look at how can we pay off debt. I think we have some great opportunities in the future with to be able to pay off some debt with the moving to the ERCOT grid. That's going to allow LPNL to act in a little bit different role as just being a wire provider. And in that, I think there's the ability to certainly potentially sell off some of that infrastructure that could pay off some debt. Or what does it look like in the long term to be able to use that to be a wire provider to secure some income as well that could, you know, pay off some substantial debt that we have? And I think that's one of our biggest opportunities laying ahead of us in the next coming years is determining how LPNL could potentially go from being a company that's caused so much heartburn to being a company that could actually provide a lot of value to the citizens of Lubbock.
Very good. It's Chase Head. His website is chaseheadlbk.com. Candidate in the big Lubbock City Council race for District 5. Chase, anything else you want to add very quickly?
Well, just real quickly, I know that property taxes have been a big concern for all the citizens. As I get out and talk to people, I know that's a concern, and that's something also I think that we got to look at. And the city just plays a small part in that, but where your school districts and everybody else also has a piece. But that's something we also got to look at is how we can help our citizens of Lubbock, especially with the high inflation that we're experiencing right now at the grocery store and gas pumps.
So. Very good. Chase Head, ladies and gentlemen, candidate for Lubbock City Council District 5. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
Fred on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
It's the show everyone listens to, even if they don't admit it. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are glad to speak with another candidate for this big city council race in Lubbock for District 5, which, by the way, it's the biggest race, but it has an incumbent in it. That's unusual. Usually you get the giant races when you have an open seat. And the reason, I think, is that there is mass dissatisfaction with Randy Christian, not just the vote against saving the lives of innocent babies and going along with the pro-abortion crowd, voting against the Lubbock ordinance. And by the way, doubling down on that, saying he's nothing ashamed of or something like that still during this campaign. I think there's people are upset for a lot of other reasons. And this is a really big race in the city of Lubbock. It's predominantly the core of Southwest Lubbock. We are visiting today with Kerri Thomas. She spells that K-E-R-I. And then Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, and her website is Kerri, K-E-R-I, thomasforlubbock.com. She's also on Facebook. Kerri Thomas, you are the wife of a very good friend of our program, Dr. John Thomas. I want to get that out of the way, but we don't need to promote his ego anymore in this. We'll get right into this. Talk about this, because it is true, this is a really big race. And yet the incumbent's running for re-election. We don't see that. Usually you get the big race when it's an open seat. I guess that does mean there's a lot of people upset with the way the city council has gone. Talk about it and the issues that matter to you and what motivated you to run.
Well, thank you for having me, first and foremost. I do appreciate it. You know, I just want to say that we've got to have some change and some transparency down at City Hall. And I think that people are just so tired of everything we see. We have $1.8 billion in debt. And you look around Lubbock and you say, where's all that money gone to? So that's something that, you know, we've got to really get that transparency down. I know for me personally, I just couldn't sit idly by and complain. I had to figure out a way to say, what can I do? How can I get involved? The Sanctuary City for Life ordinance, that was what triggered me to say, wait a minute, I need to dig a little deeper. And I think that most people in District 5 maybe are feeling that way too. This is a district that is very involved in voting throughout the city and out of all the districts. But, you know, we've got to make sure that our city is protected. We've got to ensure that the people down in City Hall are going to be doing our best interests and taking care of our best interests. You know, I'm running on a few different issues. I want to make sure we can get our crime under control. Every day I hear something new about crime going on in District 5. And if it's not in District 5, it's somewhere in the city of Lubbock.
You know, that is Kerri affecting Thomas, all of us. Kerri Thomas, that's something to point out, because there's long been a problem with people in the more affluent neighborhoods of thinking that crime is somewhere else. And yet, for example, I remember 10, 15 years ago, maps showing crime reports, you know, the area around the retail and South Plains Mall in Southwest Lubbock was really the highest crime area for a while. You know, it depends what kind of crime you're talking about. But Lubbock is in a position where just to blunt the natural prejudices of people, it's not always over there. You know, over there, right, on that side, we are having tremendous problems with violent crime and other things all through newer neighborhoods in South Lubbock and West Lubbock. It is pervasive across the city. We're seeing that around the country. I guess the question for you is, what should the city be doing differently? Because it seems like all institutions, every generation, every 15 to 25 years, we glom onto some new fad. Right now, it's what we're going to build. We're going to build little regional command centers everywhere, and that's going to fix it. I'm not opposed to regional command centers, but they're not any kind of fix for crime. They're just an administrative issue. But what do we do about it? Because the crime is everywhere, and it is in District 5.
It is. And, you know, that's something that we do have to address. I think we need to utilize those substations that we have already built. We've spent the money, the infrastructure's there. It's already up and running, but we have to get them to their maximum potential. So we've got to figure out a way to make them a success in our community since they're already up and running. So that's something, you know, we need to sit down and really have those hard questions.
Well, is that more police officers? Is it a different kind of policing? Is it different training? What are your thoughts as you've talked? What do you hear from people as you're out campaigning in the district? What is it they want to see different from a policing standpoint other than a lower crime rate?
Right. They want to see more people. And, you know, when I'm block walking and talking to the constituents here, they want to see more police out on the field. They want to feel safer. They want to see more people behind bars and not just, you know, oh, you know, we can't do anything about it, you know.
Right.
So we've got to really look at also our recruiting and retention. You know, we are understaffed. We need more policemen on the line. We need them out, and we just can't even get them. Well, you know, that's
a basic core service. And one of the things absolutely. You talk about is physical responsibility. Now, if you listen to certain people, they'll always say, well, we got to have firemen and policemen. So, you know, quit complaining about tax increases. But the fact is, massive, as you said about transparency, tremendous amounts of money are going to things that aren't core services. It's not as if you refocus. Talk about that a little bit, about refocusing the council on the basic services, because I think most people would figure, given how much money's being spent, there's probably enough there.
And that is one of my concerns, the fiscal responsibility. We've got to be good stewards of our taxpayer dollars. That's really the only way we're going to restore trust in City Hall. You know, one thing that I'm really concerned about, I have a 12-year-old son. Burl Huffman, the Burl Huffman complex is the perfect example. We spent $7 million, taxpayer dollars, and we still have children that are playing on dirt soccer fields. They have potholes in these soccer fields. We have sprained ankles every weekend, falls every weekend. These children are falling. And what money go? You know,
well,
we
it
do
seems
have some...
to be Burl Huffman's complex, athletic complex out by the Lubbock Lake Landmark does appear to be emblematic. It's an icon of how the city works. We'll pass bonds to do capital improvement, whether that be city facilities or you know, parks or whatever. But then for some reason, there is a culture that doesn't work. It's almost as if we want things to be no good so people will vote to build another set all the time. That's what a lot of people feel, that we're always wanting to build something new, but we don't maintain what we have. And if we maintained what we have, we probably wouldn't need as many new facilities.
And the sad part is, if we could get that up and running to its, again, to its full capacity, I can just imagine how much that would boost our economy here in Lubbock, getting hotels for tournaments on the weekends. I mean, we could have a amazing Burl Huffman, and they did half of it. I will give them credit. They did half. I don't know if it's $7 million worth of infrastructure there, but I will say, if they would fix the other half, we could get that place going. They have the soccer fields. I mean, the baseball fields there too, but we're not using it to our maximum
potential.
We have a lot of facilities
that we don't take care of and then don't use.
Yes.
Very quickly, before we run out of time, visiting with Carrie Thomas. She's a candidate for District 5 Lubbock City Council. Carrie Thomas for Lubbock.com. Carrie, real quickly, one of the great proxy issues for whether someone really believes in freedom and liberty versus strong government is this smoking ban stuff. And there's a group that has never been happy with even the ban they got and the rules they got, and they want to push and push and push to expand the smoking ban, basically making the city in control of how you use your own private property. Would you support expansion of the smoking ban or just leave it alone?
You know, I would have to look into that. And again, talking to, you know, some of my constituents here in District 5 and see where do we want to stand on that.
Very good. We're out of time.
I hate to say yes or no.
Okay, we're out of time. It's Carrie Thomas for Lubbock.com. Best of luck, Carrie.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's it for today. Long live Liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.